Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5 this morning. 1 John chapter 5. I was in a store over the last couple of weeks, and as I was walking down the aisles pushing my cart, I looked over and I saw two little kids walking with a cart, and I looked over and there they were. They were kneeled down behind the cart, and they were bowing their heads and they were praying. This is a true story. This really did happen to me. I thought, wow. I got a little bit closer, and I thought, wow, that's kind of weird. You know, I got a little bit closer to them, and I looked over, and I saw what was in their cart. They had selected several, you know, large toys that were in their cart, and it dawned on me what was going on, what they were doing. Having been a little boy and still somewhat that way at times, and saw them, you know, praying there. They got up and then they carried on. They kind of muttered some things to each other and they carried on. Well, that was kind of interesting. I first admittedly thought, you know, that's kind of silly. You know, it just kind of seems silly. Then the Lord really spoke to my heart about it. You know, Jim, what's so silly about that? And I kind of thought, you know, as the Lord was ministering to me, just the thought of, you know, you do the same thing sometimes. You know, you didn't kneel down and pray for what seems to be maybe a little bit silly things, maybe. And I don't make fun of you. You know, I thought, gotcha, got it. I hear what you're saying, Lord. And no doubt my Heavenly Father was right. Those boys wanted something, and they were unashamed to kneel down, even in the aisle of a busy store, and to ask. It doesn't, regardless of the outcome of their asking, they were going about something or pursuing something in a right way. And I was just really encouraged when I saw that. We can never go wrong when we communicate with God. You can never lose that way. It's always the right thing to do to talk to God. He may answer differently than we would like, but talking to Him is always right. It's another way that we learn from the Lord. You might remember times asking your parents for certain things. My parents weren't real big on, and no matter how often I asked for guns, I think it was because they knew me as a child and thought maybe that would be unwise for me to have a gun. We lived in a more of a populist area, so it didn't seem so wise. Around here, it's a little different, you know, there's more hunting available and different things, but it was just something that they probably envisioned the checkbook coming out repetitively for broken windows around the neighborhood. We had wrist rockets, and that was bad enough, you know. Some of you know what a slingshot wrist rocket's like. Yeah, that was bad enough. So, but this is how we learn. We ask for things, and then we see what the response is, and we begin to develop through communication, finding out, you know, what the heart of our father, our parents is. And the same is true with the Lord. We begin to develop through communication, prayer. We learn the heart of God, and we learn what we are to ask for and get a better feel for what it is that God's desire is. But it's always the right thing to do to communicate with Him. You'll never lose doing that. It's so important for us. And it's important for us to know that that is God's choice. As we go through the Scriptures, it is His choice. The means by which we receive is through prayer. That's His choice. He wants us to communicate with Him. He knows what you need before you ask, but He chooses that through prayer, that cycle is made complete. And we'll talk about that a little bit further as we get into the study this morning. But let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. We have this confidence, this boldness. This is the fourth time that John has mentioned our confidence in Him or boldness in Him in 1 John. This is the fourth mention of this. The first two times or the two other times are in 1 John 2:28, and now little children abide in Him. That when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And both of these times are kind of in reference to the upcoming judgment. We're not going to face that judgment. We have confidence in Him. That's not our destiny as Christians. We have confidence. And love has been perfected in 1 John 4:17 among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So there's two places where we find that confidence that we have. We also have another place that deals with prayer, and our place in Scripture here this morning in chapter 5 that deals with prayer. But in 1 John 3:21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That fellowship that we have with the Lord is going to be pleasing. We're going to bring him honor and glory through the fellowship that we have. We're going to do those things that are pleasing. That communication that we have with the Lord. So the idea here is that confidence or boldness, which simply means we can come to our Father and tell him our needs. That was the significance what the Lord was speaking to my heart while I'm walking through the store. I see these two kids, little boys. They look like they're brothers probably. They looked similar to each other. And, you know, I look over and, man, you know, I thought it was silly at first. And then when the Lord talked to me about it, I really realized, wow. You know, I tucked it away. I thought, golly, that's a great illustration. I don't know when we'll ever be able to use that. But boy, that was great. Isn't it great? The Lord reveals and starts to prepare our hearts for things that he's wanting to do in advance. Get us thinking about them. Get us contemplating them. But it simply means that we can come to our Father and tell him our needs. We can approach him with what's going on in our lives, and we can talk to him about it. Remember how in Hebrews we learned to come boldly to the throne of grace to get help in our times of need, you know, to approach the Lord. Come boldly. It's that open door policy that the Father has with his kids. Commander of all the forces of the universe, the Lord is his name, the Lord of hosts. That's what that means as you read through the Old Testament. The Lord of hosts, commander of all the forces of the universe. And man, we can barge right in the office at any time. Isn't that great to know? 24/7, you can barge right on in. Hey, it's Jim. Just stopping in to check in. Want to see what was going on today? You know, just talk with him. Interact with him. Visit with him. Early on in my walk with the Lord, I used to sit there and I'd sit at a table and I make sure I set an empty chair away from the thing, so I made sure that Jesus was comfortable there. Sounds maybe silly to you, but that's what I did. I set a chair there and I just talked with the Lord. I knew he was there. And I just visit with him. I know it may sound a little bit corny and a little bit silly, but you know, it was just something that I needed to do at that time. I needed to acknowledge his presence. I didn't even close my eyes during that time period. I just sat there. It was late night hours, you know, wee hours, you know, no one else was around. But just sit there and visit with the Lord. You know, just have that communication with him, interact with him. I think it's important for us to maintain that identity that we know that we can come into, we're the king's kids. Commander of all the forces of the universe, and are right in at any time. We have that boldness, and really it is the truest sense of freedom of speech. We make a big thing about freedom of speech, but that is the truest sense of it, that we can come to our dad and just talk to him about anything at any time, and he's willing to listen. That's so great. We should avail ourselves of this glorious thing that God has given to us through prayer. We have this confidence, as we see in our text, and it's based, that confidence that we have, on a couple of things that we need to think about that are conditions. We can come in and talk to him about anything, but the confidence that we have in the response or the interaction, the confidence that we have in how does this play out, it's important that we do understand that there are some conditions associated with that. The first thing that I would say is a no-brainer, absolutely. It's number one. It's a no-brainer. It's not necessarily a part of the text, but it's a part of the text as a whole in 1 John, is that you are, and I am, and that we must be born again. We can approach the Father as sinners and repent. This opens up the immediate dialogue that now we have with God as we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. But in order to enjoy the benefits of being the King's kid, we need to be the King's kid. We need to identify with what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We need to be born again. And so now we acknowledge that, number one, we need to be born again believers. We need to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. As we know the Lord, then we go on. But it's a prerequisite. You need to know God. For you to be a king's kid has direct access. And we can start to develop the confidence that we can have in that relationship with the Lord. The second thing that we find, there's going to be five. So the next thing that we find, number two, there's nothing in the way between us and our Father. We need to make sure that there's nothing hindering or in the way, no unconfessed sin or anything like that that might hinder our fellowship or that aspect of our prayer life with the Lord. It's important for us to have nothing hindering that. Let's go through a few scriptures. Psalm 66, beginning with verse 18. You might just make the heading, this is number two, and then hit Psalm 66, verse 18. I'll read through it. If you want to look them up as we go, that's up to you. But you, this way you can look them up maybe later under this heading. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. That's Psalm 66, verses 18 through 20. If I had cherished sin in my heart, if I had left it there, or if I had allowed it to be there. This is why the psalmist also mentions, search my heart, O God. You know, you search my heart, God, because sometimes there are sins of transgression, we know, and then that's willful transgression. There's also sins of ignorance, things that we do that we didn't even really realize or intend to do, but it can still cause that hindrance. And we ask the Lord, oh Lord, search my heart, reveal to me if there's any wicked way that lies within me. You know, make sure I know, Lord, and that I can repent of it, that I can be washed and cleansed. I want nothing to interfere with this direct fellowship that I have access to you. Now, you may be thinking in your minds, well, you know, it happens, you know, I wouldn't want to, you know, have anything hinder or anything, but I know it could. Yeah, I understand that. That's why this is so important. Through humility and repentance, we have direct access. We could keep going in. He doesn't want us to hunker down in our pride and act like we never did it when he knows we did and we know we did. Well, how do we worship him? Spirit and in truth. You know, so we understand that. The truth is sometimes we did it and we just got to confess it, agree with God, it happened, and then move through. Don't cherish it. Don't hold it within you, close to you, and not be unrepentant about it. Give it over to the Lord. Also then, we need to maintain a right relationship with our wives. Men, this is so important. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. So it's not just your wife. It's one of the king's kids too. It's your sister in the Lord. So that nothing will hinder your prayers. We need to maintain right relationship spousally, so that it doesn't hinder the prayers. It's important for us. It can be a hindrance. We can have that blockage. You know, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He's modeled for us this example. And so we want to be careful not to allow anything to hinder our prayers. So we find that we don't want to keep sin in our hearts. We want to get rid of that, be repentant of that. And we want to maintain right relationship with our spouses. We also need to maintain a right relationship with one another within the body of Christ. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar in Matthew 5:23. And there remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. And it's speaking of that idea of communication with the Father, bringing our prayers, bringing our petitions, offering things up before the Lord. It says, man, if you know that you've got aught or they've got aught, try and get it straightened out. Now, reconciliation is a matter of the heart, isn't it? We've talked about that. It's a matter of the heart. My heart needs to be right. Your heart needs to be right in the efforts of reconciliation. Now, it doesn't mean everything's always going to be perfectly lined in or copostatic all the time. But my heart needs to be right regarding it. I want to be open to having this made right. I want to have good fellowship with one another. We want that. Now, sometimes you and I, we can't be responsible for the other person's heart regarding the matter. And so we need to pray, Lord, make my heart right, that when I approach them with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're within me and that I'm approaching this with that frame of mind to get it move on and to be forgiving in my heart and to receive and give forgiveness. Now, if that isn't mutual, you still need to get to the cross where the light is. Remember, we talked about that. Get to the cross. Meet at the cross. That's where it's not the flagpole. We're meeting at the cross. You know, we get together, we meet at the cross, and we gather together there, and that, because that's where all the washing and cleansing takes place, is in the presence of the light of the finished work of the cross, what Jesus has done for us. And that's where we have fellowship. So important for us, we make sure we straighten out any, if we realize we've got issues, because this could become a hindrance for us in our prayer life. We also need to maintain that right relationship with Jesus, that close walk. John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We can ask whatever we want. It'll be done for us. But man, we need to be in that abiding relationship with the Lord. That right standing, good close walk with God. Kind of ties into the first thing about sin, doesn't it? You know, because it would be hard to have that abiding relationship with issues plugged into our lives that we're not willing to give up or deal with. The third thing that we find is we need to pray in accordance with his will. So we want to have no hindrance, nothing in the way between us and the Lord. That's part of it. We definitely know that we need to be the King's kids. We need to be born again. And now this third one we have here is we need to pray in accordance with his will. That gets interesting, doesn't it? How do I know what the will of the Lord is in a matter? Well, we don't always. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't communicate about it. The confidence and the assurance, though, that God's going to do something with it is going to be based on me knowing that it's God's purpose and plan, that he's wanting to do this. You know, you can never lose when you're praying for somebody and asking for them to open their hearts to the Lord. You can never lose with that, because what does the word tell us? That God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God, too. You're praying in accordance with his desires, his will. He wants to see that happen. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to force his will on somebody. You know, he's not going to force himself upon anybody. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not forcing it. Behold, man, we're coming at it with the ramrod the third time, and we're going to bust the door down in your heart. No, God doesn't approach us that way. It's, man, he's standing at the door and knock. And if any man will, open the door. And so that's that invitation that people have to humble themselves. We've had to humble ourselves. We daily need to humble ourselves and open our hearts to the Lord and say, Jesus, come in. Let's fellowship. Isn't it great? I love that aspect of the relationship that we have with the Lord. You know, even if you've had some weird, freaky day that everything you touched went south, you know, it didn't come together. And any, you know, who knows? You have those times where things just aren't fitting together at all. And the Lord just say, Jim, come on, let's sit down. Let's talk for a minute. Iced tea, can I get you something to drink, anything? Let's just wrap, man. That's the way the Lord approaches me. Sit down. Let's just talk for a minute. I find it's best to go ahead and sit down and talk for a minute, because other than that, sometimes he will encourage the process. And then sometimes it's lay down and let's talk for a minute. You know, different things can occur because he loves us so much. He wants to hang with us. And sometimes circumstances can be created for a little more hang time. We want to avail ourselves of it and enjoy it. But we need to pray in accordance with his will. We don't always know specifically what that is, but we know that we want that to be our purpose and our plan. So the objective in prayer is not to get my will done, but Jesus said, remember in Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done, as he kind of gave us that model outline for prayer. That it's his will, not my will be done, but it's thy will be done. So I need to be thinking in the heart and the mind of God. I need to be immersed in his presence. And as I'm immersed in that, I'm starting to pray in line with his heart and what he's wanting to do and what he's wanting to see happen. And I don't really see this as all that complicated, again, because we can approach our Father with anything. And so it kind of leaves it open-ended. Lord, you know, your will be done. If you want to heal that person, praise God. That's awesome, Jesus, if that's what you want to do. If you want to heal them by taking them into your presence eternally, praise you, Jesus, whatever you want to do. Either way, I just want to see you glorified and that your will, your purpose is done. Too many today, I think, are spending too much time demanding things of God, placing their demands on God. And God's not going to respond to that. God's not obligated to respond to that, frankly. And God is not our genie to get our bidding done. We are to pray within the will of God. Now, we know that one thing that you can do is a real quick, simple criteria for this is, remember, we've mentioned this from time to time, is that as disciples, if we're disciples, as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we know that there's that threefold prerequisite for being a disciple. And it's to deny ourselves, pick up the cross, and follow him. It's the understanding that you're going to pray for transportation. If you're praying for transportation and that's your need, you're praying for transportation. You don't need to pray specifically for the Mercedes. You need to be praying for transportation. You see the difference? Or the Beamer or whatever car you like. You're praying for transportation. Lord, your will be done. Transportation. Occupation. You know, Lord, I don't know what kind of job you have specifically for me right now, but I'm praying for an occupation, Lord, that I'm using my time wisely and that it's coming together, and I'm praying for that, Lord, whatever you have for me. But, you know, my interests are this, but I'm going to acquiesce. I'm going to yield to your will that your purpose and your plan would be done. And so it's that understanding, that acceptance that as a disciple, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm wanting his will to be done superior to mine. And it changes things in our prayer. It leaves God room to move and to work. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, let's address this thought of I'm not always sure what his will is. And it's not always that clear to me. Romans 8:25. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to his will. Getting into that place of saying, you know, Lord, I really am not sure. I trust you, and I believe that you're able. It's interesting that the next verse, you know, as you read on, then what the next verse talks about. And just the heart of God for us, that he's going to, whatever happens, he's in control of it in a believer's life. So I think that as we see this, we see that if it's not clear, we can rely upon the Spirit making intercession on our behalf, praying, saying, Lord, just that groaning deep within, Lord, I'm not sure what you want to do. I'm not sure how to minister to someone. You know, when someone's just lost a small child, it's tough. It's tough to go in and minister to those people. Or a sudden tragic incident that's occurred. It's tough, Lord. You're going to have to do this. I'm not sure how to do this or what your will or intent was in this matter. But Lord, just give me discernment. Help me to love and minister the way you would minister. And I believe the Lord's able to do that. I believe we can trust Jesus Christ with that. What is his will? Man, all I know is it's going to get done and we can trust him for it. God knows as we're praying, even in kind of a groaning state, that he knows our heart is to be knit with his and that it's his purpose and plan. So we need to pray in accordance with his will. The fourth one that we find is we know that he hears us. This is what he says here a couple different times, the latter part of verse 14 and the first part of chapter 15. We know that he hears us. We have this confidence that those things are going to come together because we know that he's heard what we've brought before him. It wasn't an empty prayer with a grocery cart full of new toys that we really hope our parents get for us. We know he hears us. Maturity is a good thing. We need to trust our dad. He knows what's best for us. He always has our eternal best interests in mind at all times, and he knows everything. God knows everything. This kind of leads us to the thought of he hears us and he answers, but he doesn't always answer the way we like. Sometimes it's simply no. That's not what I was looking for. Even a maybe would be good in this instance or this circumstance. No's not what I was hoping for in that. But that's how we learn, isn't it? The will of God. That's how we learn the heart of God and what God wants to do. And we need to know that he hears us and that we need to be okay with it because we trust him. Who knows best for you? Oftentimes we believe we know best for us. Now, I would just encourage you to go back to BC years or times where you were distanted from God, not walking closely or intimately with the Lord. And if you go to these BC times, you tell me how well it was going, how everything was going for you personally in your life before Jesus Christ and when you were the commander of your own destiny. It wasn't going good for me. It's very clear to me what was happening and my need for Jesus Christ, our need for Jesus Christ. It's so important for us to remember that we trust our dad. He knows what's best for us because he's always contemplating, always thinking, always working in and through your life, your spiritual, eternal best interests at all times. Isn't that awesome to know? That's comforting that that's the heart of God for you. He's not wanting to rip you off for something or, you know, why the trial or why this. He's always working something because he knows it's in your best interest. And he knows the results down the line that you and I may not know anything about. He sees the whole picture. He lives outside of time and space. And so he knows all that's happening, what you're going to do with it. Think back some of the prayers maybe you and I prayed through high school, early college years maybe, and things we prayed for and how thankful we are that we didn't get those. They weren't answered the way we thought we wanted them answered. Oh, thank you, God. You know, God knew the end result of some of those things. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." We know that he hears us. "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" It's God's desire. This is his prayer is the mode. It's the process, it's the means by which God has chosen to bless and to do things in and through our lives. He wants us to have that connection. I think part of it is it's that dad connection that I know that it came from the Father of Lights. Every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father of Lights, James tells us. And so we know that it came from there. And to acknowledge that, because it's so quick and it's so easy for us to start going off and we all of a sudden are blessing ourselves. You know, we did it and we start embracing that concept. And then all of a sudden, just like what was the warning to the children of Israel over and over and over again? Be careful that as you begin to be blessed, that you forget not your God. That you forget not where this came from. That it was from the good hand of the Father who loves you. How important for us to remember that, to embrace that, to know that. Psalm 65:2. "O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come." God hears our prayers. He acknowledges those things that we bring before him. The fifth thing that we find, this is our last one. We know that we have received from him. So not only do we know that, we're sure that he hears. You know, we're positive now. We're also positive that, man, we have that as we've prayed in his will. You see how the things kind of fit together. And then we can be confident knowing that, man, we prayed in accordance with his will. We can be confident about that. You know, there's no issues. We know he hears us because I got no issues in my life, no sin things lingering around. I'm wanting to be in an abiding place, nothing between me and other people, nothing going on. But man, I'm in good fellowship. I'm abiding in him. And man, we know that not only does he hear us, but that we have received from him. This involves that faith. In Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Again, go back to your prerequisite, because people do the blab and grab with this stuff. And that's not the intent, that you're just to claim this thing, and because you've claimed it, it's obligation that it's going to be done, that God's not going to be pushed around by you or by me. It's not going to happen that way. The deal is here is that the prerequisite is that I understand that my heart is to see God's will be done. I want God to be glorified in and through it. Not about me, but about him. It changes the scope of what we're thinking of and what we're asking for. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So I don't negate the faith aspect of this. It is very important. Think about the times that maybe we've laid hands on somebody and prayed for them and thought to ourselves, this is such an effort in futility. That's true. I know it's true. Because I know it's happened to me, and I'm not the only person that could have happened to. I'm sure of it. Because it wasn't a prayer of faith. It was some bizarre form of obligation. I wasn't really believing that God could do it. And man, the Lord's really changed my heart about a lot of that. That I really try and stay in the right zone, in the right place in my heart and mind with the Lord. That, man, you know what, the Lord, you can do anything. You ever pray for somebody that's in really miserable circumstance and you're thinking, I know this is hopeless. This guy's never going to get off meth. It's just not going to happen. The history is this, this, and this. I've prayed for him over and over again, and it's just not going to happen. Man, we need to believe and know that God is able to do this. And to, by faith, embrace that and know, man, you know what? That person can be healed as the Lord chooses. That person can be truly repentant and experience a change of life. I think by and large, most of us have experienced a pretty radical change in life. So now we're those that made it and everyone else, there's no hope for them. What kind of a gospel do we have? You got to be kidding me. That's absurd. People preach that in a covered way. The Frozen Chosen would preach that. I disagree, absolutely, emphatically. Because what hope is there then for the dying world that surrounds us? The hope is that anybody that would turn over their life to God, there's hope for them. Now, there's got to be this mix, isn't there? The Holy Spirit's got to be doing a work in their life. They got to be responding to that. I understand. But that's in the realm of the Spirit. That's not for me to figure all out and untangle and all this. My role is to what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how will they hear unless they have a... It's there you go. Somebody's got to proclaim. And that's you, and that's me. That's my life, that's your life, that's our lives, that's the body of Christ. We are, our lives proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The changed hope that there is. See, that's exciting to me. You're not sharing something that, well, you know, I kind of got it put together. God kind of, honored that. And, so therefore I'm okay. I don't know how it's going to work out for you. See, those kind of prayers can kind of happen sometimes. I'm not saying that we purpose it, but we can kind of just go there. And man, that's not a prayer of faith. That prayer of faith is the one that says, man, whatever you ask, bring it before the Lord. Believe that you have received it. That idea is that knowledge that it is happening. I may not see the result of it happening, but it's in motion. It's on its way. God's doing it. The life of faith is exciting. It says go when everything else in your system's going, no way. Faith just says go. That's exciting to me. Watching the Lord and then watch it all unfold. It just starts happening. You just go, yeah. One step, one foot. It's just like when they grabbed the ark and they were crossing over. Before, you know, when we first give our lives to the Lord, we see God kind of move out in front and advance of us in certain ways. We kind of see the waters part. And, you know, there's just these neat things happening. And then the Lord starts saying, now that's great. Now it's going to be a life of faith. Now it's put your foot out in front of you and believe by faith that right before your foot hits the water, that the Jordan's going to part and you're going to cross on dry ground. That's a different story, isn't it? Now I'm trusting that what he told me is actually going to play out the way he told me it was going to play out. That's the life of faith that the Lord's wanting us to enjoy and benefit from throughout the days of our lives. And so, believe that you have received. Very important. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he what? Will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Enjoy the fellowship that you have, the communication, the commune that you have with fellowship. You know, just communing with the Lord. Enjoy that you have. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight in that. Delight in his presence. Enjoy that. I really believe in the enjoy the ride concept. I just do. I believe in it. I believe we should enjoy what God's doing in our lives. And I think the only time that we aren't enjoying it, even in the midst of our struggles, the only time we're really not enjoying it is when we become focused on the struggles, on the issues, on the problems. Man, you can enjoy it. You can enjoy what God's doing, knowing that he's in control. He's got a purpose and a plan. James says in chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault. He's not a respecter of persons, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So that idea, we know that we have received. This is what John is talking about, that concept of faith, that I've embraced it by faith, knowing that, man, God's doing it. And that I trust the Lord, and that I know that he's at work, and that I believe that what we've brought before him, he's going to accomplish it. In his way, in his time, but I know it's on the way. That's great to know. That's great to, that kind of faith. What an exciting thing. When we think about the wisdom, we want guidance and direction. It's so easy when all of a sudden we're starting to get off into that area where, oh, you know, I was so sure that I was sure that I was sure. And now we're out in the middle of the sea, and I know I'm rehearsing this in my mind. I know that he told us. Hey, you guys, you remember? He told us to get in the boat, didn't he? He was even pretty stern about it. Get in the boat, guys. Jesus told the guys, get in the boat and I'll meet you over on the other side. Get in there and go. And he went up to the mountain. Now all of a sudden, everything's cool while we're, you know, okay, we're going. This is all good. He told us to go. We're going. Can you imagine the conversations that were going on? I always think about that. You know, what were they talking about in the boat? Several of which were fishermen and, you know, savvy with, you know, storms and all this stuff. But you can imagine what they're talking about. Man, he did tell us to get in the boat and go over. I mean, look what's happening to us. We might perish out here. Big tempest starts up. Where are you now? What happened to the Lord? You can just start questioning things. Doubt, fears, all kinds of weird things come into our minds. Ah, faith dispels. They prayed, you know, Jesus, he's up on the mountain. You, no doubt, just interceding on their behalf. Well, help those guys, you know, look, Father, increase their faith. Help them to trust. The Lord's there for us. He steps in. What does he say? Peace. Be still. Fear not. Relax. Got it all under control, fellas. No need to worry. They got to the other side, didn't they? You read the story. They got to the other side. Not without a slight lapse of freak out, but they still got to the other side. We need to be encouraged by that. You're going to have a lapse of freak out. Keep it contained. You see? Keep it contained. Because if you start to react upon it, you might dive in and start swimming for shore, and there could be a perish that could happen. You don't want to jump out of the boat. Stay in the boat. Stay with the flow, what God's wanting to do. It doesn't mean that it doesn't. Courage is that follow through in the midst of fear. I still am concerned, but I'm following through. Paul was that kind of guy. He gave us great display through word pictures of a life of courage, because he describes for us his ministry in perilous this, in perils of that, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the ocean, and you know, out in the seas, in perils, you know, of out in the hiking with the wild beasts, and all he said, perils is that, you know, describing intense fear, fear that grips us to the point of possible death. And so he said, but he what? He always kept going, didn't he? So courage, faith, trusting God, conquered the fear. And so I think that's important for us as we look at this, as we see that. Man, we want to stay focused on, we want to trust him. We know that God can do it. So we can see as we look at this, that God, as we trust him, as we have faith in him, God's going to follow through. The first thing we know is, man, we got to be born again. We got to be a part of the family. It's a family thing. This whole deal is a family thing. What we're talking about today is part of being the family, the body of Christ, the king's kids. The father takes care of them. That's the way it is. Jesus made it really clear in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. I know what your needs are. I know what's going on. I know what you're freaked out about. All these things will be added to you. But what's our role? Seek first him, the kingdom of God. He is the kingdom. And we're to seek him first. You seek him first, no loss. God's going to take care of you. God's going to Now, haven't you noticed that many of you have been in this life of faith, and you've stepped out, and he gets us to that brink of thinking, well, maybe we should just stay in the comfort zone. No, I'm really feeling the tug of the Spirit. Don't stay comfort zone. Let's move forward. You know, all these, and then you get out in that spot, and then there's a little bit of the doubt. No, we're going to press through. And then all of a sudden, it's just that breakthrough that starts to happen. And God really begins to move. But sometimes it is 1 minute before 12. And 59 seconds. Sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? You know, you're just in that spot and you're thinking, oh, I'm not sure how that's going to come together. I'm believing you for it. I know you put it on my heart, Lord, but I'm not seeing this fitting together. You know, and then all of a sudden, boom, the Lord just does it. Isn't that exciting? That's fun. You'd never see it unless you take that first step. Those who venture out into the deep, they will see the mighty works of God. They're going to see God move. Though they come maybe to their wit's end, they're going to see God move. Sometimes you got to venture out into the deep a little bit, but you're going to see God move. That's exciting. Very exciting. Got to be a part of the family. We can't let anything or any type of sin hinder our communication. We need to ask the things that we're petitioning the Lord with in line with his will. We need to know that he hears us. We have that confidence. No, man, he hears what we're asking him about. And then we need to just receive it by faith. God knows, and he's going to do it. How many times we've got the plan, or we think we heard about the plan, and then it's quicko, super changeo, you know? I have that happen all the time. But that's okay. It's called Holy Spirit interruptus. It happens all the time. Well, I thought I was going to go do this, and then in the midst of this, the Lord did that, and this led to that, and that over here happened, and then, you know, it's like, wow, that was all in just a 24-hour period, Lord. That was pretty crazy. But that's the daily life of the believer, really. It's just the life in the Spirit is a little different than the life in the flesh. Life in the flesh, we map it all out. We're rigid, and we are not going to flex, and we will be broken. Those who are following the Lord, man, walk in the Spirit, flexible, yielded, let God have his way, we're not going to snap. Because we just bend and go with what God wants to do. Let him follow us, or let us follow him. Receive it by faith. Jesus taught his disciples on prayer. He taught them in chapter 6 of Matthew. I'd encourage you to open that up, Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. This is what Jesus taught regarding prayer. And you can tuck this away. Contemplate it in your devotions as you're beginning to interact more and more with the Lord. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. They've gotten what's coming to them. They got their large applause or whatever they had coming. They've been honored. But when you pray, Jesus speaking to his disciples, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. It will be evident, God's presence upon your life. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. It doesn't mean that you can't keep asking for the same thing. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that repetitious prayer that they think there's something in the counting of their things and such, so on and so forth. There are many religious groups that are very repetitious, and they think that that is going to invoke something from God, and that's a misconception. No different then than now. Same kind of misconception. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray. We know his address, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We don't need to stockpile or hoard it for the next 15 years. Give us this day our daily bread. What was the nation of Israel to do? Go out and gather up manna for that day. Start stockpiling too much, the worms will start eating it all up. It just went bad. It went rancid. What was God trying to do? Teach what? Dependence. Trust and dependence upon him. Isn't that radical? There's nothing wrong with having things, but if your dependence becomes on that which you have, you're missing it. Our dependence still needs to be on the Lord. Our trust needs to be in him. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Those people that maybe have transgressed against us, or those that we have transgressed, man, bring it before the Lord. Lord, forgive me. Man, that was wrong. And be forgiving. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Or so be it. That's God's plan. That's his purpose. That's the model design for prayer. That's the format that he wants us to use in prayer. Prayer, I want you to note this, begins in the heart of God. Prayer begins in the heart of God. It wasn't originated with you, though you and I think it was. It was in the heart and the mind of God. God, through circumstances, various life situations, things we're reading devotionally in his word, a conversation with a brother or sister, a conversation with a heathen, it doesn't matter who it was that we interacted with, but it begins in the heart of God, and God does something, kind of puts something impresses something into our person, into our minds, into our hearts, impresses that into us, that thought, that concept, that idea, that thing to bring to him. We bring it up before the Lord as his spirit has ministered it to our hearts. We bring it back to him. It's been birthed out in the heart and mind of God. He's put it, because he knows all things. He's put it into our hearts and our minds. Now we begin to bring it back to him. And now the cycle becomes complete. And the answer, the response from the Lord begins to take place. Now, what I mean by this is interesting, is sometimes it's not just the Lord, what do you want to do with this circumstance, or how do you want me to handle it? And we're presenting our ideas and trying to get him to get our ideas mobilized. That's the wrong. It began with him, Lord, I'm sensing this, Lord. Now, if this is what you're wanting to do, I pray that you would open that door and then begin to reveal to me how to follow your purpose and plan in this. And so he begins to open the door, and we begin to follow the purpose and the plan in it. And God begins to gradually reveal further his purpose, his will, his desires in and through that. But it was birthed in the heart of God. The Spirit ministered and impressed it upon our hearts. We bring it back before the Lord. Now the cycle is complete, and he begins to move. Because we're acknowledging it's all happening through the Spirit, through God. What is it? He's encouraging us to what? Be dependent on him, to be in communication with him, to know that it all comes from him, to know that he has got everything under control, and that we really begin to enjoy a much more peaceful, blessed life. Because we know that what's happening, or maybe not happening, is still in the hands of God. I think that's important. Sometimes he can impress something on our hearts that we begin to pray about, that he completely closes it off, and it can be settled for good. never to need to be thought of or worried about again, because it's done. That's done. I can move over to this now. I don't have to, that's done. I'm over here. I'm focusing on what God has now in this. And it's so important, because then there's no loss of time. So sometimes the Lord's doing different things through prayer. It's not just to, because that's a blessing to not waste time over here, isn't it? That's a blessing to me. And to move forward and do what he wants to do. So God blesses. I'm trying to share that with you so you can see that God blesses in so many different and diverse ways for us. But know that prayer began in the heart of God. He impressed it into your life by the power of his Holy Spirit. You and I bring it back up before the Lord. The cycle becomes complete. He begins to move because I'm getting into what he's wanting to do. I'm starting to think about it. What does your word say, Lord, regarding this? I start digging around the topic. I start thinking, well, this is what the Lord says about that. Oh, okay, Lord. So the Lord begins to minister to us through his word, through conversations, through different things. It's awesome. We begin to really see the life of the Spirit as we're in fellowship and communicating with God. Let's begin to pray right now. Father, as we close out our time together this morning, we thank you, Jesus, for ministering to us, Lord, for speaking to our hearts regarding this so important topic, that idea of fellowship with other believers, and that we see in the early church those ingredients to the healthy believer, the fellowship that they enjoyed with other believers, the partaking of communion, the study of your word, the apostles' doctrine. And then also, Lord, this one that we've covered today, prayer, the importance of our communication with you. Lord, you know our needs. We bring them before you, and Lord, we know you hear us, and we know that we're going to receive those things as you just continue to lead and reveal your purpose and your plan. We thank you for this, Lord. We go forward with peace, with joy in our hearts, with excitement, Lord, for those things that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.